Now, this is a truncated version of this song. I suppose many of these songs have more and perhaps sometimes many more verses than we have in our hymn books. But in the CNMA hymn book for this song, you can read, "Round each habitation hovering, see the cloud and fire appear for a glory and a covering, showing that the Lord is near, thus deriving from their banner light by night and shade by day. Safe they feed upon the manna which he gives them when they pray." And then another wonderful verse, "Savior, if of Zion's city I through grace a member am, let the world deride or pity, I will glory in thy name. Fading is the worldling's pleasure, all his boasted pomp and show, solid joys and lasting treasure none but Zion's children know. So let the world deride or pity," right? What are they doing up there on Labor Day weekend? They don't even let them go water skiing on these beautiful days. "Let the world deride or pity, I will glory in thy name. Fading is the worldling's pleasure, all his boasted pomp and show, solid joys and lasting treasure none but Zion's children know." Now, this summer, for our staff devotional topic, we have taken the Apostles' Creed and we split it into phrases for each day of one period, 1 2-week period. And we came up with this staff devotional. And so during last week, where we had this really lovely event called Fellowship with Friends, I decided to take it from the top again, and we did, but we have four more left. So that makes Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, okay? And the last four, you know how the Apostles' Creed goes. "Christian, what do you believe?" And then the answer is, "I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church." Now that's as far as we got. And I know some people are wishing that I didn't read it again. And they get a little nervous when they hear the Holy Catholic Church. But that's a small c, and it means the universal church. It's all believers throughout all the world, the true believers in Jesus. Okay, we're going to leave that one behind now, okay? And then we have these last four: the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Now, I'm not going to preach on one of these each day because we have other speakers, but it so happens that tonight I would like to say something about the communion of saints. I believe in the communion of saints. And in our devotional book, we just had this one sentence: "The church's truly sanctified members have communion with the Holy Trinity, with the angels, and with all saints on earth and in paradise." Now, our little comments or explanations were written by Samuel Stone, the author of The Church's One Foundation. And here we have in our devotional for today, we have, "Yet she," the church, "yet she on earth hath union with God the three in one, and mystic sweet communion with those whose rest is one. O happy ones and holy, Lord, give us grace that we, like them, the meek and lowly on high, may dwell with thee. And our scripture reading, we had a scripture reading each day also. And our scripture reading for this particular day, in the Apostles' Creed, when we say, I believe in the communion of saints, is Hebrews 12, verses 22 to 24. Hebrews 12, 22 to 24, where we read, but you have come to Mount Zion, and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festal gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. Those three verses comprise the reading in our devotional for today under the line, the communion of saints. I suppose that you're familiar with this part of the letter to the Hebrews. There's a contrast here. You have not come to Mount Sinai, but you have come to Mount Zion. And Mount Zion is called the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. And this morning, you know, I live in that area over there. That's where I lay my head at night. And I hear just before 8 o'clock, the trumpets play at 8 o'clock. Holiness unto the Lord, and then usually another song. And sometimes they come right in here where their trumpets are, in the cases, and they do a little warm-up. And I can hear that, and that's nice. And this morning, you know what the warm-up consisted of? Last night I lay a-sleeping, I dreamed a dream so fair, something like that. Something about the holy city, and I got excited because of the reading that we had for today, and I wondered if we were going to hear the holy city. But I was so happy with the one they chose instead, which was Fairest Lord Jesus. But anytime you want to play the holy city, that's fine. You're not come to Mount Sinai, you New Testament Christians. You've come to Mount Zion, not to Mount Sinai. And what precedes that verse, you have not come to what may be touched, a blazing fire and darkness and gloom and a tempest and the sound of a trumpet and a voice whose words made the hearers beg that no further messages be spoken to them, for they could not endure the order that was given. If even a beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned. Indeed, so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I tremble with fear. But you have come to Mount Zion. I said, what precedes that section is a call to follow after, to go on to holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. And don't fall short of the grace of God. Don't despise your birthright blessing. And then he goes to what is our position as believers, the place to which we have come. And there's this wonderful contrast. We have not come to Mount Sinai. Rather, we have come to Mount Zion. Mount Sinai, as you know, is the place where the law was given. Mount Zion is the place to which we now have access. The wonderful life of God that we have in Jesus. All the privileges of this so great salvation that we are encouraged to receive the grace of God and to pursue holiness and to be kept, and we are kept by God's grace from falling short of that. We haven't come to the mount that might be touched We've come to Mount Zion. In Galatians, we read about Sinai and Zion, or what Paul there calls Jerusalem. This is an allegory. These are two covenants. One, Mount Sinai, bearing children unto bondage, answers to Jerusalem that now is under bondage. Not believing in Jesus is what Paul means. But the Jerusalem, which is from above, is free. And that Jerusalem is our mother. We have believed in Jesus. And so we come by faith. And here's the spirit of bondage and fear. And here's the spirit of holiness and liberty. And we have come not to the mount that might be touched. We haven't come to its fear and its terror. As the children, as you know the story from Exodus when they came to Sinai and how God manifested his glory. And they saw the fire and they saw the tempest and they heard the thundering voices. Even Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. And this is to be a symbol in the book of Hebrews. The writer wants to show that that's what the law does. It works wrath. It works fear. It works death. Now the law is holy and it's just and it's good and it's God's law and it's given for a purpose. It's to drive us to Christ. But it comes with these demands that no one can fulfill on his own. And it doesn't have the power to change us. It doesn't give us love for God's will. And the power to do it. What it does do is it uncovers, it discovers our sin and condemns our sin. And so the law can bring this sense of a self-condemnation. And it has this wonderful purpose of driving us to the Lord and to his salvation. But we haven't come to that mountain. In Andrew Murray's The Holiest of All, he gives seven things at that mountain. It's the mountain that can be touched. There's fire, there's blackness of cloud, there's darkness, there's thunder, there's the sound of a trumpet, there's the voice of God. But in the passage that I read before about Mount Zion, there's also a sevenfold glory described. And I do want to get to that, but you have not come to Mount Sinai. You have come to Mount Zion. The fear and the terror of Mount Sinai are exchanged at Mount Zion for faith and for trust. And we want to come, and that's where we are to live and to recognize our privileges, the opportunities that are ours, the blessings that flow to us at Mount Zion. So we come and live by faith, and we experience that Christ is our life. And so we have come to Mount Zion, and this is a reality to us. We dwell there by faith in Jesus, and there's such a difference. We read it already once, but you have come to Mount Zion. This is the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and you've come there already. That's what he says all the way back in the first century when this was written. You know, we sing, we're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God. And that's true. We're on the journey to the celestial city. And yet we are living in heaven today. Uncle Hans, you've heard that name, haven't you? He's the founder of our church and of this camp. He used to say, heaven to go to heaven in. Heaven is Jesus. maybe got that from somewhere, maybe you heard that from someone else, but heaven to go to heaven in. And that's true. We're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God, but the writer here says you have come there already. You can live and enjoy the privileges of being in Mount Zion. And I think that ties in. That's why that passage was chosen by whomever. I think it ties in with the communion of saints. Hebrews 12, 22, 23, 24. You read the description of the heavenly Jerusalem. In Revelation, you can find it. Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he shall dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. The Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple thereof. The glory of God did lighten it. The light thereof is the Lamb. The throne of God and of the Lamb shall be therein. His servants shall serve him. They shall see his face. Praise the Lord. Jesus has brought us to that glory already. He has. There's a certain sense in which when Jesus took away the veil, we entered into heavenly places in Christ, and we can live in the power and the experience of that way that has been opened. The Holy Spirit enables us to live, to dwell in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We have been seated there together with him. This is the city to which we have come. The city we read about in Hebrews 11. Abraham looked for that city, the city that has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And we have come to it, it says here. We are citizens of the heavenly Jerusalem. Our citizenship is in heaven. Philippians 3, the Apostle Paul said it too, as well as this writer. We can live here. We have been brought into the holiest place. You sing it. Do you believe it? I found a way through the blood past the veil to the Holy of Holies with God. There, by his power over sin, I prevail. I can walk in the path that he trod. There in the presence of Jesus I stand, glorified Son at the Father's right hand. There I can plead, I can claim, I can have all that he purchased for me. You have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the very presence of God. We are to dwell there. This is our privilege to live this life. This is part of that so great salvation. And then we read, to an innumerable host of angels, to innumerable angels in festal gathering. Now, I don't know too much about angels, but I believe in them, and I believe they're sent forth to minister to those who are the heirs of salvation. And I believe they do God's will. They stand around his throne. They worship him. They fulfill his purposes as he commands them. They are his ministers, we read in the psalm. Bless the Lord, you ministers of his that do his pleasure. Those are the angel hosts. And they worship and they're obedient to God. And here it says we're in fellowship with them. Now, I don't think of them primarily when I think of being in the presence of God, and I'm sure you don't either. You think of Jesus. But they're listed here. They do the will of the Father, as it is done in heaven. And Jesus brings us that way too, doesn't he, as he works in our lives, in this new covenant, this glorious new covenant, where our sins are forgiven, and he writes his law, his will in our hearts, and gives us the grace, the enablement to do it. And then he brings us into fellowship with himself. They shall not teach every man his neighbor, saying, know the Lord, but they shall all know me. They shall all know me, from the least to the greatest. And then it says, to the assembly of the firstborn, who are enrolled in heaven. Well, that must be the church on earth, those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Praise the Lord. We have communion and fellowship with all of them. Communion, we said, with God, with the Holy Trinity, but communion with the saints on earth, not yet gathered into heaven. Here they are, living for Jesus and living with Jesus. They're the firstborn. They bear his image, the image of the firstborn one. Oh, may God keep us from despising our birthright as those who are his children. But Lord, help me to live. Help us to live as God's firstborn and in living union with all his saints on earth. God wants us to have unity and love with all those who know and love Jesus. Praise the Lord. And understand that we're all in one great big holy family, loving Jesus together and pressing on the upward way. And now it says to God, the judge of all. We've come to God, the judge of all, dwelling in the city of God. He is the judge of all. In Andrew Murray's book, The Holiest of All, I looked in there today and read about this passage. And he says something that stirred my heart when he got to this, that God is the judge of all. He said this: our redemption gives us such deliverance from sin that we have already been admitted into the house of the judge, not standing at his judgment bar, but we're able to dwell with our judge. And then it says, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, those are the saints in heaven. When you come to Pilgrim Camp, if you've been coming here for a while, you think of those people that have gone before. Maybe in your church too, or in your acquaintance, you've known people that you would call saints, and they've been such a blessing in your life, and they've gone before. They're called the saints, the spirits of the just, who have been perfected. Now there are those on earth who are called perfect also, but these have been wholly perfected, entirely perfected. They're waiting for the redemption of the body as we are, but they belong to this wonderful fellowship to which we belong, to which we have been admitted. And I like to think of the ones that sat here with us over the years and ministered to us, worshiped with us, set an example for us. Somehow my heart is stirred when I think of some of those whose lives were influential in mine. And I praise the Lord for them. And then it says, and to Jesus. You've come to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant. Moses is called the mediator of the law, of the covenant of Mount Sinai, but Jesus of the better covenant. Sometimes we have a minister here, Sister Gerda Bacher, and she likes Hebrews, and she tells us about the betters in Hebrews, don't you? Yes, you do. How many are there? I think you said 13, right? 13 betters. And so this is a better covenant, and it's based on better promises. And this covenant has to do with our hearts, especially with our hearts, whether we're fit for holding a fellowship with God, whether our wills and our lives are under his control, or shall we say in line with his. At Mount Zion, we've come to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. And in the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus, the Savior, is doing his saving work in you and in me. Let us trust him. Let us have faith in him that he ministers, as we read, in the power of an endless life. Mighty Savior, we sang before, what a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Jesus. I told not too long ago, maybe about a week ago here, how that recently, so often when I'm in the Word of God and I'm speaking to people in church, this phrase comes to me. It comes from a song, but I just want to say it, and sometimes I do. And I'm not just filling time because I can't think of my next word, but I just feel like saying, Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Wonderful Jesus. And then it says one more thing. To the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. We have Jesus in the city of God as our very life, but we also have his blood that was shed for us, that reminder, that token of his death, his life poured out for us, the blood of sprinkling that it says here that speaks better things than Abel's blood. That blood of sprinkling, that blood speaks, that blood pleads. Isn't that wonderful? The speaking blood. That comes from Genesis 4, where God challenged Cain and said, where's your brother? Let's see, where is that anyway? Genesis 4, somewhere near the beginning of the Bible, right? Cain rose up against his brother Abel and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel, your brother? He said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? And the Lord said, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground. And now you are cursed from the ground, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. Abel's blood spoke, God said. And he doesn't tell us what it said. But he tells us that Jesus' blood speaks better things. Did Abel's blood just cry out for some justice, some vengeance? Could it be? And Jesus' blood speaks mercy and pardon. I've often heard that contrast made. Jesus' blood was shed on earth for us, but it also is sprinkled in heaven, or so we read here, and speaks to God for us, and I believe also speaks for God to us. Precious, precious blood of Jesus. God speaks to us of peace, peace with God, and love so amazing, so divine, speaks of that heavenly power within us, working within us. Precious, precious blood of Jesus, shed on Calvary, shed for rebels, shed for sinners, shed for me. Precious, precious blood, ever flowing free. Oh, believe it. Oh, receive it. 'Tis for thee. And this blood speaks, sprinkled in heaven. And our cleansing, our sanctification, also our confidence, our boldness to approach the throne of grace or the mercy seat, as we sang before, is all tied in with the precious blood that is shed on earth and sprinkled in heaven. And these are the things to which we have come. I said there were seven, so I just want to count them, all right? You don't mind counting them with me before we close. We've come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, number one. Number two, to innumerable angels in festal gathering. Three, to the assembly of the firstborn enrolled in heaven. Four, to God, the judge of all. Five, to the spirit of the righteous made perfect. Six, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant. Seven, to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. So, Christian, what do you believe? I believe that I've come to Mount Zion. Christian, you've come to Mount Zion. You've come to God in the holiest. You've come to dwell with Him, and you've come to all this, and you live here. You can dwell in His holy presence by the Holy Spirit. You have come in, and God will reveal this in your heart, that you might know the things that are freely given to you of God. You've come into the heavenly, or you've come to the heavenly Jerusalem to enter in and to dwell. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And I'm thankful for the communion that we enjoy, communion with God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and with all the things, all the numbers 1 to 7 that we mentioned here tonight, that we enjoy. Oh, let us love God. Let us love Jesus. Let's not love the world. Let's not live in the old covenant. It's possible to live in the old covenant even after having come to believe in Jesus. We somehow like to, I guess it's ingrained in us to expend some effort when it's really all the grace of God and the power of His working, His blood and His Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for Zion, the city of God, with the joy of your presence, the fullness of heavenly joy and the beauty of holiness and the eternal life, the power. This is the place of our abode. The blood has brought me in, we sing, to God's holiness, so clean. Remember, hallelujah, hallelujah, I have passed the riven veil, where the glories never fail. I am living in the presence of the King. Jesus sent the Holy Spirit down. Jesus entered heaven, opened the gates for us. And now He brings into our hearts His very life, the light of heaven, and the experience of it all. How can we? We started by saying how much we owe Him. Can you measure it? No way. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I have passed the riven veil where the glories never fail. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I am living in the presence of the King. Find me a good key, please. That was a bad one, right? Okay. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I have passed the riven veil where the glories never fail. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I am living in the presence of the King. Now, you've traveled today, and I want to dismiss you before too much longer. But those who would like to stay, we welcome you to stay in the presence of the Lord as long as you desire to. But we're going to dismiss the meeting for those who need to go to their places now. After we sing, Arise, My Soul, Arise. And it's in the camp songbooks. And say that again, please. 46. Number 46. And of course, if you possibly can stand, you want to stand when we sing Arise. Yes. To ask Brother Tom Andriuk to pray with us in closing, please.
We thank you for opening to us this new and living way. We draw near unto you, O Lord. Amen. Oh, Father, stir our hearts this night to run after you, O Lord, to seek you with our whole heart, O Lord, that we may find you, O God, in your fullness. Come to each of us, O God. Let your presence, O God, be imparted to each and every one, even now, O God. Cause your presence to, as we draw nigh unto you, to draw nigh unto us, O God. And fill us, O God, working in us the will and to do of your own good pleasure.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Amen. God bless you.